Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night. Friday, May the 8th, 2026. 16 minutes past the hour, joined in studio tonight by Matt Morgan. Matt, how you doing?
Doing pretty well.
Well, we're going to open up the program with some news because we've had some little clips on the show recently. I thought we'd recap and then go back and listen to some of those. So if you tuned in tonight, you're getting the news program. And we'll also have some fun, talk about just some fun things. Now, John Kulowitz appeared on the program earlier on. On Tuesday, he became the Democratic nominee for Attorney General, and as many of you know, yesterday Attorney General Dave Yost announced he would be resigning effective in June, I believe it is. So this morning, this is John Kulowitz on this program. This only is about 5 minutes long, talking about why he thinks it happened and what happened and so on and so forth. Here it goes, John Kulowitz. Certainly the big news yesterday was that Attorney General Dave Yost here in Ohio has announced that he will be resigning effective this June. What's going to happen? We all want to know. We're glad to invite for a five-minute visit this morning the man who on Tuesday got a big win in the Democratic primary for Attorney General, will be the candidate this coming fall, John Kulowitz. John, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Mr. Spears.
John, what are your thoughts on Attorney General Yost announcing his resignation yesterday?
Well, it appears that he's following his true calling. I know the cultural war cases have been very important to him, and he'll certainly have a full menu of those at his new employment.
Do you think this was done as a political move 2 days after the election?
Well, it's curious to me that this comes on the heels 30 days after General Yost was the only statewide Republican official to join me in calling for an investigation of Jobs Ohio, and 2 days after I won the Ohio primary, all these moves are being made.
Do you think Attorney General Yost was pushed out in any way?
I don't know. I don't have any inside information about that, but the timing makes me curious about that.
You know, it's very interesting because Governor DeWine will have to make these appointments before June the 7th, and a lot of people this morning are speculating that everybody who won their primaries on Tuesday will just be slid into those positions, and Jay Edwards will be given the treasurer's spot, and we'll have incumbents this fall. Do you think Governor DeWine's likely to do that?
Public offices are not gifts to be given. They're responsibilities to be earned. We should be running for these offices and acceding to them by the vote of the people, not through some game of musical chairs that appears to treat these offices as something owned by certain people.
Do you think that's something Governor DeWine might do?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what's on Governor DeWine's mind. I do hope Governor DeWine will appoint somebody who takes at least as seriously as I do the need to protect public safety as Attorney General, and the need to do everything possible to make the economy of Ohio work better for everybody in Ohio. We are really up against it in Ohio economically. The people of Ohio need help, and the Attorney General is in a position to be a first line of defense against financial crime, financial wrongdoing. That's what I intend to do as Attorney General.
John, with about 2 minutes left here, what is the worst case scenario of Attorney General Yost resigning?
That the position would go unfilled. I mean, we need an Attorney General who's going to serve as chief officer of the state and who's going to devote himself or herself to that responsibility. That position cannot go unfilled. There's too much riding on it. It's very important that it be filled and filled promptly.
You won your primary on Tuesday night in a big way. A lot of other people did as well. Alison Russo, a big winner on Tuesday night. How do you feel about the ticket as we go into the fall, the Democratic ticket?
I feel very good about it. The Democratic ticket is in a position to provide the people of Ohio what they're looking for in these troubled times. Things that are getting out of control in Ohio price-wise. We are there to help in every single way. As Attorney General, what I want to do is do everything I can to protect us from consumer fraud, from monopolistic pricing, from wage theft, from unlawful discrimination, from Medicare provider fraud, elder abuse, nursing home fraud, all these things that are costing us money. If people are are acting wrongfully to us, I'm going to make them pay. We need to protect the people of Ohio and their pocketbooks and their paychecks.
And my final question here this morning, John, what is history going to say about Attorney General Yost when they look back on his career as Ohio Attorney General?
Well, I'm more of a lawyer than a pundit, so I'm not sure I'm in the best position to answer that. I think it's it will reflect upon him as somebody who followed his heart to the fight these culture war cases. You know, in the next administration, when I'm Attorney General, I want to return the office to the people and fight for the people economically.
Mm. Do you think the reason he left is because he couldn't get the governor's nod?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, this appears to have been in the works for a while. The deal evidently was not done until 2 days after the primary when they saw who the Democratic nominee was going to be. So that's all I know.
So you think there might have been a deal in place, though?
Well, we've got to watch out for backroom deals here. This office is too important to be. It's becoming too politicized. It's a law office for all the people of Ohio. We need somebody in there who's a lawyer and not a politician.
John Kulowitz, the Democratic candidate for Attorney General, coming up this fall on the news that Dave Yost, our Attorney General, has turned in his resignation effective in June. John, I know you're busy. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, there's John. All right. Well, that was John Kulowitz on the program this morning. And when was it? It would have been yesterday morning. We had Frank LaRose, the Ohio Secretary of State, on the program, and I'm not going to play the whole interview, but here is a clip from the Frank LaRose interview in which I asked him about why he sent 8 million voter information for 8 million Ohioans to the Trump Justice Department. A lot of people say he hasn't answered this. Well, I've asked, and here's the answer from our current Secretary of State, Thursday morning on this program, Frank LaRose.
Mr. LaRose, a couple more questions for you here this morning, because after Tuesday night, we now know that there will be we know who's going to be in the race for the next Secretary of State, Allison Russo, and Mr. Sprague, our current treasurer, and things will happen as we go down the road. Earlier this year, a couple months ago, your office turned over 8 million Ohioans' voter data to the President's Justice Department. A lot of people say you haven't explained this. What was the reason this happened for people who are saying that or people who don't know?
Well, I think I've done about 100 interviews about this where I have explained it, and we've also explained it in writing. But let me be clear about something. The law says, and this is the Federal Voting Rights Act and Civil Rights Act, says that it is the responsibility of the U.S. Attorney General to verify that states are maintaining accurate voter rolls. States have the responsibility of maintaining accurate voter rolls. The federal government, through the Department of Justice, checks to make sure that that happens. Now, I don't think that in the past that previous Department of Justices have put as much effort into that as they should. This Department of Justice has decided that they do want to do that. And in order to do that, you need to be able to look at the voter rolls. Now, here's the unfortunate part. People like Allison Russo, who want to try to make a political stink about it just for their own benefit, have really kind of misrepresented the facts on this. And that's what people do. They do the hyperbole thing to try to get a bunch of anxiety cranked up. Here are the facts. What I gave to the Department of Justice, the vast majority of it is already a public record. You can just go on our website and look at it. It's public information by definition. And so you can look at our voter rolls on the website. It's not something that is secretive. The only exception to that is a few additional pieces of data that I had to provide for them in order for them to do proper data matching, and meaning making sure that this person isn't registered in multiple states, making sure that this person is a citizen or not, making sure that this person is not deceased. And of course, first name and last name is not sufficient for that. You need things like a driver's license number. Guess what? The Ohio DMV exchanges driver's license numbers with the federal government on a daily basis. You need things like a last four of a Social Security number, not the full Social Security number, the last four of the Social Security number. Guess what? The federal government created your Social Security number. Do you think they have it already? I think they do. And so when we gave the voter rolls to the federal government, we weren't giving them anything that they didn't already have a way of getting. We were just providing it all in one package so it's easier for them to evaluate that. And by the way, they've been good partners on this. We've done a really good job of maintaining accurate voter rolls in Ohio, but another set of eyes on the process is always useful. And when they come to us and say, hey, because of our data matching and because of comparing data with other states, we've identified a few hundred people who are on Ohio's voter rolls, but we believe they're also registered to vote in another state. Well, guess what? Then we can do something about that. And there's nothing controversial about that. So you know, stop it with the hyperbole and the sky is falling stuff that people like Alison Russo do just to get her base excited.
As we head into the fall, it's kind of interesting. A lot of people feel that the top of the Republican ticket, Vivek Ramaswamy, has lost some momentum. He got 82% of the vote on Tuesday, but has lost some momentum from where he was last year. How do you feel about Vivek Ramaswamy, and do you think that he is in good shape going into the fall?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Listen, it's May. It's a long time before the general election. These things ebb and flow. There will be a lot of different things that both campaigns try to do to get themselves attention. What I see is an absolutely record-breaking performance by Vivek Ramaswamy. He's been to all 88 counties, most of them on multiple occasions. Nobody's worked harder than he has. He's raised record amounts of money. That's an indication that Ohioans are excited about it. And most of those are small-dollar donations as well. So it's not just, you know, wealthy people. There are, like, many thousands and thousands of small-dollar donations that have made up that haul. But the most exciting thing about Vivek Ramaswamy is just who he is as a person. This is a transformative leader. This is an innovative thinker, a man who is, a self-made entrepreneur who's been enormously successful by 40 years old. And he could do a lot of things with his life and be very successful at them. The fact that he has chosen to run for governor of his hometown, home state, I think is something that a lot of Ohioans can be excited about. I certainly am. I think he's got the capacity to be a tremendous governor for the state of Ohio. I've described it like this, and I've learned this from my military experience, but other aspects of life as well. There are leaders you have to follow because they outrank you, because they're in charge, and you have to follow those leaders. And that's never fun. But then there are those rare leaders that you want to follow, that have the courage of conviction, a clarity of vision, that have the energy and the leadership to actually bring a group of people together to accomplish that vision. That's who Vivek Ramaswamy is, and his vision for Ohio is nothing short of making Ohio the best state in the country to live, work, and raise a family. Not just one of the better ones in the Midwest, but truly an exceptional state for public education, for economic growth, for moving Ohio into the future. I'm for one excited about that vision. I think he's going to be an excellent governor for the people of Ohio.
Why do you think the polls are showing so close, and even have Amy Acton in the lead in some polls? That hasn't happened for a long time with a Democrat running for governor.
Again, I think it's early, there are only a relatively small number of polls at this point. I think that both campaigns have done their internal polling. That's one thing. But there's only been a small number of public polls. But for most people at this point, it's just generic party identity. The average Ohioan probably doesn't know a whole lot about either of these candidates. They will get to know that over the summer and into the fall as people start to really switch on and pay attention to this and do their research. But right now it's a lot of, you know, hey, I'm just for the R no matter what, or I'm just for the D no matter what, or I'm undecided. And I think that's a lot of the kind of behavior that you're seeing right now. But listen, I'm confident Vivek Ramaswamy is going to win this. There's really no comparison between the two. There's a clear contrast here in a vision about moving our state forward in economic development, or sort of going back to the old ways of more taxes, more government involvement in your life. I think that Ms. Acton demonstrated that proclivity just a few years ago.
And that was your current Secretary of State, Frank LaRose, on this show on Thursday morning. So there you go. What do you think, Matt?
Tried to throw in a little COVID jab there.
I don't think those jabs are good.
Well, I mean, you know, DeWine's already pretty good and well, you know, shot down that one, I think. So, you know, there's that. But, I mean, if the government already has the voter rolls, why are they asking for the voter rolls? I mean, if they have all the information to put it together, then I think they should just put it together, I guess. You know, I don't know why. You gotta send the voter rolls. Voting is a state issue anyways. Has been. Should be. state controlled.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. There's one more video I want to play. Now, this was just posted recently to social media. I guess it was beginning of May. This is Governor Celeste speaking about Seth Walsh, the Democratic candidate for treasurer, who was on this show sometime back in January, February, somewhere of that time frame. Here's Governor Celeste.
...8 years in that office. And during that time, we invested in Ohio's public schools. We invested in mental health. We invested in jobs to put Ohio's working people back to work. We demonstrated when you put Ohio taxpayers' money into projects that work for Ohioans, this state can thrive. I've spent my life in public service because I believe that government should improve the lives of all of our citizens. Seth Walsh believes that too. Hundreds of millions of our tax dollars, our money, is being spent to subsidize a stadium for a billionaire, provide tax cuts for corporations and wealthy Ohioans. And meanwhile, we're told that there's not enough money there for our schools, not enough money for our Medicaid services, not enough money for us. Ohio hasn't had a Democrat win statewide in 8 years. Seth Walsh can and will change that. I'm proud to endorse Seth Walsh as the next Ohio State Treasurer. I'm Dick Celeste, the last Democrat to win re-election as governor of Ohio. But I have to be honest.
So that's how you introduce yourself? I'm the last governor to win re-election in the state of Ohio. That's kind of a backhanded sort of a slight, isn't it? At Governor Strickland?
Well, you know, I mean,
I don't think I would like to. Why wouldn't you just say I'm Dick Celeste, former governor, two-term governor of the state of Ohio?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that would have been the better way to go about it. I don't think I would have made a big thing about how the Democratic Party's struggling.
No Democrat has won statewide in 8 years. Did that get you motivated to vote for Seth Walsh?
No. I mean, not really, no.
I've never heard anybody introduce themselves like that. I'm the last governor to get reelected in the state of Ohio. Okay, but there was another governor since you that got elected, a Democrat.
What's he got? I wonder, what, you think he's got something against Ted Strickland?
I don't know. You never really see them together. Dick Celeste is an interesting fellow.
I think so, yeah. Nice enough guy.
Yeah, but he is kind of different. I mean, he endorsed Brian Hambly. You saw how that went.
Yeah. Yeah, he also came out. He was the first one to endorse Amy Acton, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did it before a lot of people did it. I don't know. Weird. But anyway, 740-383-9944. I don't think I would do that.
Do what? The video or how he did it?
Yeah, I would not say that.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I don't know why. I wouldn't have said it.
No.
I think it just to like a slight at your at your party.
I mean, okay. I don't know about Seth Walsh. I don't know where that's going, to be honest with you.
Well,
that was May 1st, by the way, so that would have been last Friday.
Oh, look at that. That's good stuff, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I don't know. I think that Edwards, right? Yeah, Edwards. Edwards is certainly running. You know, I think he's going to be a tough one to beat as far as the... I mean, he's got a lot of support. He's got J.D. Vance and you know, Bernie Moreno. And I don't know this for certain, but it's my understanding that he's wealthy. I mean, you know, money goes a long way. And Paul, you got to be able to run the ads and whatnot.
Well, I'm just looking here. Remember this, 1.3 thousand.
1.3 thousand?
That's what Seth Walsh has following his site. Jay Edwards has 26,000. So 26,000 versus, what was it? 1.3 thousand. Okay. Well, there you go.
Well, it would seem that the Facebook campaign's not going so hot for Seth Walsh.
And you've got the vice president, current vice president of the United States, endorsing Jay Edwards, and you've got the last two-term governor of the state of Ohio backing Seth Walsh.
Yeah, I don't think it's looking good right now for Seth Walsh.
No, no. But whatever. So what'd you make of what LaRose had to say about the Ramaswamy Acton race?
Well, like I said, I mean, I don't think that taking shots at COVID is going to be really worth anything. I mean, DeWine will die on that hill defending her, so I don't think that's worth it. And, Ramaswamy's a smart guy, and I'm sure he has done a lot of hard work to get to where he is by the age of 40. But it doesn't mean that he's going to be a good governor or anything. He has no political experience. I think he should probably run for like state rep. Do something to get you some experience before you he ran for president. Like, what's up with I don't think that he has the experience.
Okay, well, who does?
For governor, nobody.
What a time we're in. And then John Kolowitz on Dave Yost resignation.
I think that I tend to agree as far as it not being the position not being, or I guess the office not being, a gift that's given, I suppose. I mean, I think that it would make sense to give it to the deputy attorney general. I mean, that's his job as the deputy attorney general. He's the he's the backup dude there. So I don't know. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to do this whole chain of appointments.
Oh, we're getting a call. Let's take the phone call here tonight, I think. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Spears. Thank you for having me on. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
Because I've never heard anybody call you Mr. Spears.
Oh, so many, many people do.
This will be a short call. Frank, what he has to say, of course, why did you call him Mr. LaRose, and why did you call the guy that called you Mr. Spears by his first name?
I don't know. People can call you whatever they want.
I can never hear you when I'm walking up the road here, but I just wanted to say that Frank, or whatever you want to call him, Rosie, we'll just call him Rosie. I thought what he said about voter ID was excellent. To me, it's a no-brainer. I don't understand why there's any objection. I don't understand how it's supposedly racist. Maybe you could talk about that just after I hang up, because I can never hear you when I'm walking up the road. But I don't understand the racism and voter ID and voter rights argument. Rosie explained it very well, and he made a good impression on me. I didn't know much about him, but good interview there, Mr. Spears. I'll hang up and I'll hear you guys talk. You guys have a lovely evening.
All right. You know, if Adam calls me Mr. Spears from now on, I could get used to that. I like that.
Well, you know, when I was in high school, I doubt it was Frank LaRose himself. I'm sure it was somebody within the office. But I emailed the Secretary of State's office because one of my teachers had a Constitution of the of Ohio. So I asked them if I could get one. So they mailed me one. That
really?
Was cool of them.
Well, that is very nice.
For free, they just give those away. If you want a Constitution, by the way, just email the Secretary of State.
And Frank LaRose was the person who gave you the Constitution.
Well,
but you think
it came from his office? I don't know that it was him.
Well, that's fascinating.
I'm sure he's got staff doing that kind of thing.
You think so?
Well, I mean, I would assume, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, I mean, if it was him, I mean, that's cool, I guess. You know, I'm all right with that too. I mean, I got the Constitution that I asked for, so positive.
Listen. Why is voter ID racist? Was that the question?
The voter law or the voting rights.
I don't know that anybody's saying it's racist. I guess I haven't heard that. I've heard why it hurts people of race is that I've never heard that it's racist, I guess.
Are we talking the
I guess I'm I don't
trying
I,
in the voter rules or like
I don't
the Supreme
know.
Court ruling on the
Oh, well, now that? Is that what we're talking about?
I think you might have mixed two things up there, because I haven't heard any. I mean, I don't know how the voter roll, turning in the voter rolls.
Adam, I'm not sure what you were talking about. I never heard that turning in the voter rolls was racist. I've never heard that.
If he was talking about the...
Now, if you're talking about the Supreme Court ruling...
Yeah.
Why that gutted the Voting Rights Act, that's because there are areas that are not represented as equally regarding race, and that's what the Voting Rights Act did away with. And also, one big thing that the Voting Rights Act did was got rid of any discrimination. Now, the new ruling by the Supreme Court says you have to...
Have proof.
No, well, it's not even that. You have to have... It's very strange how it's worded. But it's basically you had to purposely...
Yeah.
But you could do it accidentally.
Yes.
As long as you say it was an accident,
yeah,
that I was...
You had to do it intentionally.
Intentionally. That's a better word. You had to do it intentionally. You had to be racist intentionally, discriminatory intentionally. But if you just say it's a mistake, then it's not illegal now.
Well,
which, that's why it's racist.
Which doesn't make any sense. What difference does it make if you did it intentionally or not? It's still.
That's what the Voting Rights Act did in the 1960s. So I don't...
Yeah.
Clearly, the Supreme Court is being very political and racist. If you have to put that in there... Who's going to say, yeah, I was being racist. That's
yeah,
what I was doing.
That's what I meant to do.
I meant to exclude you just because of your race. That's what I was trying to do. I thought the whole thing up last night and knew I was going to come in here and do that. Nobody's going to admit to that.
Yeah. I don't think that... so you pretty much just did away with, what, Section 2, I think?
Yeah, so that's why it gutted the Voting Rights Act. And if you think that's okay, then you might be a little racist, to be honest with you. That's one of those things that's pretty hard and fast.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what other way to put it. I mean, I don't know how you think that's okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We think gerrymandering is okay.
Oh, and they do too. They thought that was fine.
Yes, they did. Yeah, I don't know. I think that the hollowing out of the Voter Rights Act was, yes, there's probably some racial.
Some.
It was probably racially motivated. I don't know how else you'd go about that.
But see, here's what turning over the voter rolls, what I don't understand. Now, by the way, Mr. LaRose said Ohio does not have an issue. That our elections are always on the up and up and everything's good and there's no problems. So if there's no problem, then why he just, well, more security is not a bad thing. Okay. That's what he said.
Yeah, I mean, he said, yeah, I forget which word he used, but yeah, we're tough on that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think he did it because, I think he did it because they asked him to, honestly.
So let's be honest here. Every other president has just been lazy on this. They just think, I don't need to do that.
Well, no, I think that every other president didn't do it because elections are not a federal issue or a federal thing. It's the elections are state grounds for regulating.
I don't know. All I know is why did no other president do it?
Well, that's why. I mean, the elections are supposed to be run by the states.
So there's your answer, Adam. If you have any response, let us know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz. It's always interesting to have the conversation. But I just, anything that flat out says you can discriminate as long as you don't do it on purpose. Well, how is that not racist? And even saying it would be racism.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see how you're going to get around that one.
Because you're allowed to say, I discriminate against you. I just didn't know I was doing it. It was an accident. That's legal.
But because it was an accident, they're not going to force you to redraw the map.
Right. That's legal. That's legal to do. I mean, what? What?
It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know how you exactly level that one, but
I don't even know.
I guess you do.
Okay.
I mean, apparently they did.
But I don't know.
Did the justices, you know, they usually leave some like some kind of like parting opinions. Did they leave some parting opinions?
I'm sure they did.
I gotta read them.
But you know what's interesting about the whole thing? Okay, a lot of people say race, but that could be gender discrimination. That could be
economics.
Well, yeah, but it could also be gay, straight.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all legal now. I don't like you. I'm going to discriminate against you because you're gay. As long as I didn't do it on purpose, it's legal.
It's just awfully convenient that it's drawn that way, you know?
I don't know how that happened, but it's too bad for you.
Yeah, I think that they pretty...
Because I love when people say discrimination is always about race. Well, it's a big part of it.
Yeah.
But it's not the only thing people discriminate against.
I mean, you can discriminate against...
You know, by the way, your little buddy Neil deGrasse Tyson, I saw an interview that he did today, and I did not realize... This is the bit of the interview. He's in an argument with Bill Maher about... he does not understand why people have a problem... with people who have conversions in their gender being in those sports. He does not understand it. And he gave
he being Bill Maher?
No, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Okay.
And his explanation was actually fascinating to me. He said he was a wrestler in high school. And he said actually he was number one in something. I know he said he was in New York. But he said... He was 190 pounds in those days. And he said, in his days as a wrestler, when he was 190 pounds, he stayed at 190 pounds because he knows if he would have went up 1 pound, he would have been in the next weight division, which was unlimited weight division. And he said, below him, there were 10 weight divisions in wrestling, which are probably still the case. There are a lot of weight divisions in wrestling. He said, so we... Why do we do that? So the match can be more competitive. You wouldn't have a guy who's 190 pounds wrestling against a guy who's 133 pounds. So what is the issue with a woman or a man who has that conversion, who's in that class? The cream of the crop is always going to rise to the top in that division. And he also said, if you're worried about the hormones, he said, why don't we divide things up with testosterone then? Because people do get the injections and people do get their testosterone lowered, people do get it raised, and some people generally just have more than others. He said, why don't we base sports on hormones then, if people are so concerned about this?
Well, I think it's more than hormones. It's like, you know, men tend to have more muscle mass and tend to have denser bones. And, like, even, like, the way that your skin is, like, you know, I don't know, tied together, per se. I can't think of what the word would be. But it's different for the genders. How your eyes process, like women's eyes tend...
But my point
women's
is
eyes
how...
tend to be more
adapt to movement. Well, what if you've got eye damage? What if you're more prone to broken bones? What if you're shorter? What if you're taller? What if you've got bigger feet? What if you've got a harder head? What if you're a diabetic? You know, I guess, do we go and check all these things when we're putting together matchups in these things? No, we don't. I don't understand any of this. There's always going to be somebody who's got an advantage over somebody else for some reason in a particular situation. Now, particularly, I don't care about this issue. I don't vote on it. I don't care. It doesn't even cross my mind.
Well, this wouldn't be an issue I would vote for.
No, but the fact that people act like this is the biggest issue in the United States is insanity.
It's, like, not even a percent.
Right. But my point is, if you're born with bad eyes, should we say, well, you can't, it's going to be unfair. The other guy's going to beat you. So it's just unfair for you to be in this. Just, you're out. Forget it. Are diabetics who could go into some kind of fit? I mean, do they check their blood sugar before they go on the mats or go on the baseball mound? Sorry, you got an illness. Just like being in the Army, we can't allow you in this game. I mean, I don't understand any of this. I mean, does anybody really think that people are doing gender changes to win, like, the 133 clown wrestling class?
I don't think that's the assumption. I think that people do it for other reasons.
And then you say, you know, I'm really going to kick the rear end of some wrestlers now.
Well, I think that's like an unintended consequence, or I don't know if, you know, it's just unintended.
Here we go. Women, from one of our listeners. Women Olympic athletes have elevated testosterone levels naturally as a result of the amount of intense training. So should we say that they cannot play sports because they're training for the Olympics and have higher testosterone levels than the other women?
Well, no. I mean, it's like the cream of the crop thing.
But
they also aren't competing against men in the Olympics. It's women versus women in the Olympics.
Oh, okay. But what if a woman has more testosterone than a man?
I mean, what about it?
Then the man is not going to be as aggressive. Okay.
I mean, I don't... She's not going to be as aggressive.
The man's not going to be as aggressive if he's got a lower testosterone level than the woman. Don't people have to opt into these things? I mean, I don't even... This is really not something I care about. But Neil deGrasse Tyson was mopping the floor with him on this.
I wanted to get the positionings correct here. When Serena Williams was, she was 16, so not in her prime yet. I will say that, not in her prime. But she was ranked number 53, I believe. Man, I just had the ranks. Serena Williams was ranked number 53, and her sister was also there, Venus Williams. She was world ranked number 16, and they played a man named Karsten Brosch. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. And he was ranked number 203 in the world, and he beat both of them handedly.
Okay.
So, I mean, they were ranked, you know, like 200 positions higher and still lost.
Okay. So what?
So, I mean, world ranking at, you know, 16, she'd actually be like 300-something, probably.
Okay.
It's just not fair.
Do people really care? I don't.
Yeah, I think people do care.
I don't.
I mean, I don't think you should, like, be making legislation against... I mean, I think it's, like, you know... I think it should be, like... I mean. Making legislation against it would be like regulating a private entity to do something. Like, if, like, it's like when Donald Trump signed into you know, law or whatever, the whole thing where the NCAA couldn't have trans athletes. I wasn't necessarily in favor of that. I mean, I figure it would be, why wouldn't the NCAA, a private entity, be able to regulate if they want that or not? I mean, they're a private entity.
Why does
entity.
Any of this matter? It's just like a wedge issue, just to get people arguing with each other.
Well, I mean,
I don't care either way. Do what you want.
It's not an issue I think about. I mean, until you talk about it.
I see this argument between Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Maher, and I'm thinking, you know, who cares? I mean, honest to God, who cares? Where is this happening a great deal?
Well, I mean, yeah, I tend to agree with you. I mean, it's not really a thing I care about all that much.
No, but I thought it was very interesting to put it that way. Well, why don't you have, if man's a man, 190-pound man, 133-pound man, if you want it, work out more, get better, big deal. I mean, why do we have weight classes? You do it for competitive nature. Why don't, if you're so concerned, why don't you just break these other sports up a little more and really make them more competitive? You think a team that has more money is not more competitive than a team that has less money?
Well, that's not really how it works. Like, it depends on the sport.
That is how it works. I was having
a
big conversation.
It depends on the sport.
I was having a conversation about basketball the other day with somebody, and the team where LeBron James was at was the team. One man, wherever he went. If it was Cleveland, they were the winners. If it was California, they were the winners. The rest of the team didn't even matter. And it's just who had the most money. Where did he want to live? That was it. Nothing else mattered. Michael Jackson, same thing. Or Michael Jordan, excuse me, when he was there. Same thing. Pretty well domination, wherever he was. So who cares? I mean, if he got the money, when George Steinbrenner got the money and got the Yankees started to win. When the Cubs got an owner who dumped some money into them, boy, first time in 100 years, they won the World Series.
But it, like, you brought up basketball. I mean, like, a point guard is not a center. A point guard is very much smaller than a center. And you, like you have defensive tackles in football. Defensive tackles are very big people. Offensive tackles, very big people. What position do you play is probably going to have to...
I'm just saying... What does this have to do with what I'm saying? When I'm saying...
What do you mean?
When LeBron James played for Cleveland, they were the champions. The following season, they were nothing when he left.
How do you divvy up football more? You would have to be like, oh, well, this is a 190-pound team.
Yeah, that's what you do. This is not fair. This is not... We know how good you are.
It is fair, because you can have... I can have a 350-pound offensive lineman and a 200-pound quarterback. And I can also have a 350-pound lineman and a 200-pound quarterback.
Then why can't you... If you are so concerned with trans athletes, go find one yourself. Think there's only one on the planet?
No.
There you go. Even it out. I mean, it's all so stupid. Some team is going to be better than the other based on something.
Well, yes, it has to be that way.
Right.
That's how sports work.
So why is this?
It has to be a winner.
So why is this? This is the sacred cow.
It all started with Leah Thomas.
That's what I'm saying. So this is the sacred cow. This is the one. Although we have all kinds of other things to divvy things up, this is the one. That's just, can't do that. We got to legislate that one. All the other ways that teams are better. All the other ways. We want less regulation. You can spend as much money as you want. You can pay a player as much as you want. Why don't you just cap everything and say, that's how much you can spend? That's going to make this much more fair.
They do in football and in baseball. Or not baseball, basketball.
Some teams cannot come up with that amount of money that
they have
cap
spaces.
Yeah, but it's not. Let's cap it at about, what's a normal person make? $50,000, $75,000? You cap it right there. Then every team is even keel.
No!
And college sports now. We can pay college players.
Just about every team in the NFL is at, or like, nobody's, you can't be above the salary cap. It's a salary cap. But most teams are like just about at
and what's
it.
What's the cap?
A lot. I mean,
right.
Like hundreds of millions.
Right. It shouldn't be that.
Why?
Should be much lower.
All the NFL teams afford it. They can.
It's not about affordability. It's about fair. We want fair, competitive games.
And they're paying the best players.
No.
Yes.
All the same?
No.
Well, that's what you got to do to have fair. That's what you got to do to have equity.
No. If this quarterback is better than that quarterback, and this quarterback deserves more money.
Well, unless he's a different gender.
No.
Then we got problems.
Well, there are no different genders in the NFL.
Why not?
They haven't been drafted.
Okay, so what if it happens?
As a matter of fact, they don't even
play. It's illegal?
No, you can. I'm sure they.
I'm sure somebody'd have a problem.
You could,
especially
do
if they played good.
Draft it.
Wouldn't work.
Do it. Go ahead and draft one.
It's okay. So which sports is it illegal in, and which sports is it legal in?
I think that you're going to find that if you draft, I mean, like women don't even play college football, and when they do, 9 out of 10 times they're a kicker.
But who cares?
I mean, draft a kicker then. I mean, draft a woman. It's just, I just...
So why is it a problem? No problem there, but it's a problem over here.
Because if you divvy it up by weight, I mean, sure, you could find, like combat sports are divvied up by weight. I mean, you like you brought up wrestling. I'm sure there is a better way to do that if you wanted to combine the sports. And I'm not opposed to combining the sports, you just gotta find a better way to do
it. So you think Neil deGrasse Tyson is wrong?
What?
All right, we're going to break. That's all there is this first hour. Now we'll find something else to legislate in the next hour. Legislation is the way to go. More government, apparently. I thought that the Republican president would be for less government, not more.
Oh, that's what the Republicans say, yeah.
Who knows? We'll be back.
Electricity, if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you, yeah, all you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.